Warning, listener caution is advised. The following broadcast contains bad language and bad grammar and probably bad spelling, which is frankly an achievement for audio content.
Did you know you can listen to the recording of this podcast live as it happens? Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn how.
Now.
You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
This is the Small Screen Spoiler Show, where we discuss and spoil your favorite television shows. So if you have not watched what we're discussing, you might want to come back later. This is your final...
Spoiler warning!
I got to warn you. You're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
That's right. Once again, it is time for your Small Screen Spoiler Show. This is episode number 40. Holy crap, Jazz, we're at 40 episodes.
40.
I am...
We're middle-aged, man.
Yeah, middle-aged. Man, we're getting up there in age. You can tell from the beard, as my kids keep reminding me, my beard makes me look old, and that's kind of the point. I am CJ. My idea involves hitting people, boat. And that guy over there is, of course... my partner in crime, my partner in spoiling you all, whether you want to be spoiled or not, Jared, Officer McDipshit Azevedo.
I've got my badge right here. Oh, wait, no. Never mind. I'm sorry, I forgot it.
Oh,
my bad.
Damn it. and of course, our invisible third chair, as all well, most of the time always, is brought to you by Daryl. The new you is kind of freaking me out, Shaler.
Indeed.
It is kind of freaking me out, Daryl. I like Goofy Daryl better. Give me back Goofy Daryl.
He's always grumbling about S.H.I.E.L.D. and getting all excited about Supergirl.
Yeah. So, tonight's shows, of course, are Daredevil Season 2, Episode 2, Dogs in a Gunfight. Is that Season 2, Episode 2? Or is that Episode 1?
That's Episode 2. Sorry.
Okay. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Notes fail. The title's right, though.
Okay, just making sure I was not repeating the same as last week's. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 3, Episode 13, Parting Shot. Gotham, Season 2, Episode 15, Mad Grey Dawn. And Better Call Saul, Season 2, Episode 6, Bali Hai.
Bali Hai.
Yes.
Bali Hai.
On the he, on the ho. No, it's not.
No, different song.
Oh, right. Sorry. My bad. All right, folks. So, of course, let's go ahead and get this ball rolling with a little bit of Daredevil. Daryl, what do you got to say about Daredevil?
Cool. Episode 2 of Daredevil, because I didn't binge watch this whole season from my sickbed while on pain medication that hasn't all blurred together into one 13-ish hour movie event of total awesomeness at all. Okay, let's check IMDb. As Murdoch recovers from an attack, Foggy and Karen fight to protect their new client from both the law and Kitchen's newest vigilante. That doesn't really narrow it down, sorry. We haven't seen Chekhov's minigun yet, have we? Okay, well, this episode definitely kicked ass, I'm sure, and I think it's next week we get to talk about hallway fight scene 2.
Well, they did have the big fight scene at the end of this one.
Yeah!
That was almost like the hallway fight scene, except it was on a rooftop.
Yeah! By the way,
in the rain.
Not rain anymore. This episode was really good.
Oh yeah, this was fun. This was a good time.
Just like in the last season, huh? You bring in a supporting character, you bring in the villain, and magically, Daredevil gets a lot better for me. Funny how that works.
Oh yeah.
Shane from Walking Dead, John Barathol, kills it as the Punisher.
He's a good Punisher.
So good. Like, I love Thomas Jane as the Punisher, like, in a weird, campy, I probably shouldn't like it as much as I do kind of way. But John Bernthal, just, like, he's cold. He's conniving. He's dark.
Calculated.
It's just fan-freaking-tastic.
Just boom, boom, boom. No.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just don't get in my way. We'll be fine. I just gotta do what I gotta do, and that means I have to kill everybody.
Yes, everybody. I loved the pawnbroker scene or whatever it was.
Yes, that was an excellent introduction to that character.
Oh yeah, it shows you exactly where the line is. You want women? We got women. We got grannies. We got. Oh, you want something younger? We got about 12 years old.
Stop. Turn around. Oh, you do.
God. It just,
you could have lived.
Watching him walk,
you just had to go there.
Watching him walk back, feel the anger and hatred just rising from your screen, man.
Grab the baseball bat and, well.
What are you doing?
Well, you have to be punished. You must be punished.
So,
and we wasted no time with the name drop. The hero name or anti-hero?
Yeah,
I don't know what to call him.
Anti-hero. The Punisher never is even trying to pretend to be a hero. But
he does only kill bad guys.
Yeah.
But he's
the epitome of anti-hero.
They
tried turning Wolverine from anti-hero to just plain out hero, and that's kind of when I feel in the comics Wolverine got worse. Punisher has never been that. Like, even when he was an angel, don't ask, he was still just straight up just murdering people's faces all over the place. And then he tried to murder God, and God's like, yeah, I don't want you here anymore. And then he came back to life. Again, don't ask. Man, I tell you, early...
Uh-oh. You just went silent. Can you hear me anymore? Oh, no.
Can you not hear me?
There you are.
La, 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 la. There we go.
Got a loose cable or something?
No, not as far as I know. But yeah, the early 2000s in comics was like trying to recreate the Golden Age and just doing a lot of heroin. So
so much heroin.
All of it. You did get I did like how they finally disclosed Daredevil's weakness, which is a human-sized weakness to bullets.
Yes. Getting shot in the head tends to knock his powers out somehow.
Yeah. Well, That kind of why stop it? It seems to be. I'm gonna turn on phantom power. Maybe that's causing some weirdness. All right, let's see if that helps any.
Fingers crossed.
You one. What the hell was his freaking? What the hell is his suit made out of that he could stop a Punisher bullet into the freaking head? And
some kind of super carbon metal. Not quite, adamantium something.
That doesn't exist in this universe. It's all
vibranium.
Vibranium,
whatever.
Yeah. Adamantium doesn't exist in this universe because that's Fox.
Vibranium. I know, Captain America's shield.
I'm guessing his entire body or his entire suit is supposed to be made out of, I'm guessing, hyper Kevlar or something. It's a little weird and way wonky. You did get a... Charlie, what's his face's Irish coming out in this episode a little bit?
Did you?
You got a lot of
blood.
I'm
really bad about noticing the accents, though.
He keeps going about blood, and I'm like, you're Irish.
Did not pick up on it.
It's just every so often, in season one where he was yelling in the rain, just straight up Irish, and then this one's just apparently he can't say the word blood without going blood. It's fantastic.
He did lots of bleeding.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty standard for Daredevil.
Thank you. Yay, coffee.
Mmm.
Not allowed to drink alcohol right now, so coffee it is.
Sounds good.
Yeah, lots of bleeding in this one. I do like how they had to take Matt off the sidelines. And it's not that I don't like Matt. I like Matt just fine. But it's fun seeing how people interact around him without him there, especially Foggy. Because... him needing to go from sidekick to full-blown, super lawyer guy. And by the way, Foggy know how to lawyer.
Yes. I enjoyed Foggy going up against the DA.
Yeah, that was great.
Holding his own and being very competent.
Yes, it just kind of shows that Murdoch, I still stand by the fact that Murdoch's not the greatest attorney, but Foggy got them brains when he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, 9.0 on IMDb. And, yeah, I'll give it that.
Yeah, I think that's good. Solid.
Yeah, still getting the A. You did name drop. You got some name drops from season one in here. You got Fisk name dropped a couple of times. Which is always nice, reminding everybody, hey, Fisk is still around, guys. Given the fact that I'm watching this as we're watching and I'm not going ahead, I wonder if Fisk actually comes back into play this season or not.
I kind of doubt it, but I wouldn't run it. I mean, I wouldn't say it's impossible.
Yeah, that definitely seems like a season three kind of thing. Because I know the second half of season two brings in Elektra and the Hand.
Yeah, or, you know, Defenders.
Yeah.
Like Kingpin would be a good, like, organizing some kind of mass thing that everyone has to get involved.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that be Kilgrave, but, you know, as I stare into the camera angrily.
Yeah, Kilgrave's not coming back. I'm sorry.
Again, this is a universe where...
Or am I sorry? I don't know if I'm sorry about that.
This is a universe where people get superpowers, so it's not unheard of for him to come back from the dead.
This is true.
Although, if he comes back from the dead, I want flat-out purple man. I will not be happy unless he's just flat-out full purple. Like, hey, we brought you back from the dead, but yeah, you're kind of stuck being
purple.
Now
you're purple.
I'm good with that. But I want, like, I want straight-up purple man, comic book purple man. Like, that's what I want. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious if he'll get at least any FaceTime at all in this one, or if he's off doing his own thing right now.
I don't see him coming back. Nah.
That's fair.
Was it the cold open where Foggy finds him?
Yeah.
Or is it the beginning of the
cold open?
That was fun.
Yeah.
I like, you know, Foggy giving him something to do.
Yes.
Like, that's something important.
I am perfectly good with Foggy getting more screen time because he is still just the best person in this entire show.
I agree, Brian Brushwood.
As Jazz stares angrily into the camera.
Because I know he listens to this show.
Yeah, I know, totally. Absolutely.
We won't talk about that other spoiling show.
Yeah, man.
Any time. I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, I love Foggy, and he's the best part of this show still. And even in this episode, like, when he was starting to get a little weak, he just, like, then when the DA thing came in, it's like, okay, yes, this is the Foggy I want and need.
Yeah, go Foggy!
Yeah! And Karen was leaving puddles on the floor behind him there. You saw that, right?
No, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, you know, Deborah Ann Wall, you know.
Yeah.
Still liked her better.
Know. You're paying attention.
But she's still very, very gorgeous. So, what other notes do you have on here while I take a sip of coffee?
Well, I like that they have copycat Daredevil people and they call them devil worshippers.
Devil worshippers! Yes!
That's fun. Melvin's back, and he seems more smart. Intelligent, better spoken.
Yeah.
What other words should I use? Like, he didn't seem as
stupid,
you know, from the first one.
Yeah, definitely. Seems
well, he's definitely not stupid. I mean, he makes that cool armor stuff, and he's clearly like a genius or smart somehow. But he had some kind of disability. It appeared in the first season, but in this one, he
or it could
seem
be the actor didn't know how to act, and they sent him to acting classes over the summer.
Or maybe they just changed their mind. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, that could have been, you know, you like he's autistic or something like that, you know, but didn't play well with your ribs. Like, yeah, you're just a guy now.
Just a regular guy. Regular type. It's fine. Daredevil Bloodhound. That was fun. Was he sniffing the blood and following it down the road?
That was pretty cool.
Like, huh.
Just kind of showing.
I mean, I guess you have the power. You have,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, well, like, they go.
Sure.
They go into like the echolocation and the hearing, but the scent, they only kind of play every so often. Like, oh, there's a guy with cheap perfume coming upstairs. By the way, when's Night Nurse coming back? I need Night Nurse. I was expecting her to come in this episode.
Yeah, we need her back soon.
Like, I was honestly expecting her, Foggy, to call her and be like, "All right, it's time for you to show up. Come on, Night Nurse." And Rosario Dawson Hall.
No, just give me some aspirin. I'll be fine.
Aspirin and a Band-Aid. All I have is a boo-boo, you know. Dude just shot me in the head. It's just a flesh wound.
Knocked me a little silly, but, you know.
I did like how they played up him losing his powers and just watching him crumble to the ground as an actual blind man. Like...
blind and deaf.
Yeah, it was great just watching him collapse, and it just adds depth to his character where you can see he's not fully the man without fear, because in you saw him lose all of his senses and that caused him absolute terror.
Mm-hmm.
Like to the he's point afraid. Where he blacks out for several hours until he can snap his fingers and hear himself.
And then baiting the trap with their client. That was pretty cold. And then I almost put this for your nickname, just to be mean. But him, you know, going to witness protection. It's like, where do they send me? Florida. Oh, I told you I hate Florida. Sorry. That's where they're sending you.
Yeah. Sending me. But we have Disney and humidity and bugs.
Yes, the humidity. And mosquitoes as big as your face.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have the love bugs, even as big as them, but they just sit around humping all the time.
They do.
Love you bugs. Love bugs. What else we got?
Gildozer, just because I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Like Punisher. I call him Killdozer, or what was the other nickname? Psycho with a gun, or I don't know.
Yeah, something
Boggy.
Like that.
Boggy, you're awesome.
I do like how at this point they're just kind of making fun of themselves in all of the Netflix Marvel shows. Like with
can
the
I actually
whole...
give ourselves hero names now.
Yeah, it's like what was Murder Coffin taken?
Murder Corpse.
Murder Corpse, yes. And then yeah, this one with Killdozer. Oh, that makes me happy.
And that fight scene.
That fight scene. That was a great
was
fight
nice.
Scene.
Even with the little bits of slow motion mixed in and CGI, I still liked it.
It wasn't
quite as raw or intense as that hallway fight scene, but it was still nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Froggy freaking out. It's like, you got the shot, take the shot. No!
Yeah, that was good. Seeing him, I'm wondering when Karen's actually going to put it together. Like,
it shouldn't be too much longer.
No, she doesn't seem like she's not an intelligent person. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for like, oh, yeah, you're freaking out because either because you have the hots for Daredevil, Foggy, or or that's Matt. Mainly because this is the one thing I'll give the Green Lantern movie. When Carol points out that, hey, I know that you, Hal, I've seen you naked. Like, she's made out with Matt and stared longingly into his cold, dead eyes many times now, and she can't tell that's not Matt.
She hasn't gotten close enough yet, I don't think. Except for that one time in her apartment.
Yeah, but just say, wait a second.
That was a long time ago, and that was before she knew him well.
So, yeah, lots of bleeding. But, I really like this episode. I'm looking forward to the next episode. The man, like, left real quick with Daredevil, so.
Good. I'm glad you're on board.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last week, I didn't hate episode one. I just expected a little bit more out of it. Jessica Jones set my expectations a little high. So, like, that got leveled real quick, so I can just go into it now and just be like, all right, cool, this is what I'm getting. I'm good with this.
Let's enjoy it for what it is.
Still better Batman than Batman versus Superman.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not, and I refuse to. Mainly because I don't want to give Sakani even more money. All right.
I don't think it matters at this point.
No,
we have
really
a clear
doesn't.
Winner.
Yeah. All right, so now let's go ahead and see what Daryl has to say about Agents of Feels.
Marvel's Most Wanted Episode 0, and this week in Hang a Lantern on It, we're going to discuss the backdoor pilot, and no, that's not a rude Top Gun reference. This is where an established show devotes an episode to setting up a spin-off show, and the results are generally lackluster since by definition that spin-off show needs to be stylistically different enough to make it on its own, and it's that change in pace that can be an unexpected gear shift for the series you actually tuned in for. Which is what we have here, with the addition of a horribly executed and needlessly confusing flashback mechanic, where there's nothing to visually differentiate the past and present threads. The ending is really good though, except that whole spy's goodbye thing not only is amazingly unbelievable, but also felt like chitsy spy talk that Burn Notice would have thought twice about using. I really hope Marvel's Most Wanted is a lot better than this. I know S.H.I.E.L.D. can be.
Ouch!
Yeah.
Daryl!
And I think Marvel's Most Wanted can definitely be better.
Daryl dishing out the hate. This got an 8.8 on IMDb, by the way, for Parting Shot here. Agents of Feels, Parting Shot.
which, yeah, I mean, I agree. The episode as a whole, like the first 90% of it, was just kind of, it was a little weird. A great episode.
Like it was a little. I mean, it was just it was very disjointed. It didn't flow together like we've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It had some great moments.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like
and
I love
most
the...
of them were you know Hunter and Bobby moments because clearly they're setting him up for their send off. But
yes,
you know, like maybe he just casually fell down and rolled himself in the nice warm tarp.
I love Hunter nerding out about mushroom soup. That was the greatest thing.
Who knew he was so knowledgeable about mushrooms?
Yeah, right. It was completely genuine too. Like he was, and then Bobby's like, "Yeah, his mushroom soup's actually very good." I'm like, "Wait, he wasn't acting about that?"
No way. There's no way he could be making that up.
That is fantastic. We have a mushroom nerd. That's awesome.
That was a very Whedon-esque.
Yes.
Change.
Oh yes. I liked the entire story was just so like there was no good coherent reason for them to be in Russia.
Well, they followed Malik there.
Yeah, but still, like the MacGuffin does not that is not a good enough MacGuffin for what happened. And this is kind of the disadvantage of the internet age. If we didn't know about the Marvel's Most Wanted being pitched and being greenlit, this episode would have held a lot more drama for all of us.
Like no, like my first note is Marvel's Most Wanted backdoor pilot ? So I knew it was happening at the beginning of the episode.
Yes. Oh yeah, it was. Surprised you didn't take that one, by the way.
Oh well, you know, Agents of Feels. We'll get to that.
But yeah, it was kind of a just a gobbledygook of, you know, them just really weakly trying to write off people who should be getting paid more money and want to get paid more money. So, as a whole, like you said, it was kind of meh. I was expecting them to play off of, and again, it's just because I want a stretched out universe. I'm like, hey, his power is the zero matter. Come on, mention it.
Speaking of that, I may have saw like the first couple minutes of today's episode, and there was something that happened that looked a lot like Zero Matter.
Yay! I just want my agents universe like.
I just want my agents to cross.
Yeah, like cross they're not willing to. They're not against you know throwing in you know the movies. Like I want the agents like storylines to intersect somehow.
So we'll see. We'll see.
I want old Peggy Carter to show up because she's still alive.
Yeah.
So like,
wait,
she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in Avengers 2.
She was. No, yeah, that was just a flashback though.
No, well, no, she was in Ant-Man was a flashback.
She was in Winter Soldier, but
yeah,
she
Winter
was
Soldier. There
senile.
We go. That's what I was.
She's pretty senile on that one.
Yeah, but still, so. It'd be kind of nice to you know go and see her anti-Tahitied.
Oh. Hmm.
Again, right. Like Daryl said, with him making Agents of Tomorrow, I kind of want this to be better than it actually is.
Yeah, it was a little, it just felt a little flat.
Yeah, but it did.
There were some good moments. I think looking at my notes, they're all Hunter moments.
Yeah, I do like.
I've got the mushroom thing.
Yep,
I've got Amadeus Ravenclaw Hunter. Which is the best made-up name ever.
Yeah, right.
Hunter made May smile.
Yeah.
My idea involves hitting people. She smiled. I saw it.
Yeah.
Don't pretend you didn't smile at that, May. You smiled. I saw it.
Made Mulan smile, huh? I liked the shadow clone powers of the general. That was a pretty cool inhuman ability.
Yeah, that was fun. Must have been expensive, though, because, man, they killed that off quick.
Yeah, right? You can always tell when a power is just too expensive when it just ends real quick. Like, you get one
we
awesome
need something
show of it.
That
just...
We're only going to use once because we got to have them kill this guy. We got to give him a reason to kill this guy.
Yeah, right.
Let's give him something fancy.
It's like the Lash transformations. Like, they did one episode of a bunch of Lash transformations, and magically, he's gone.
He's there for a couple episodes and now he's gone.
Because he's really expensive, you guys. It's like Lincoln's power, they can just use old stock footage from the Highlander movies. So that you don't really have a big issue with. And, you know, a rank
Lightning's
amateur.
Not too expensive.
A rank amateur can add waves to any video in Premiere. So her power is not that hard. Hell, I can do that. Covered.
I'm sure you could.
Melty Man's powers were kind of expensive. That's why you didn't see them very often.
It's like, I'm going to go back home. I'm still around, though, so yeah. You just call me if you need me.
Same thing with Speed Lady. Like, it's like, yeah, this isn't really good. We didn't think this character through well enough, so...
She's way OP, so we're just going to set it to the side.
She stays in Colombia. Don't ask.
This isn't Flash, so, you know.
Yeah, right. We can't have somebody that strong yet. It's the reason why you don't have many of the zombie wards hunter or zombie wards powers going on, because that shit's expensive too. Skin sand is expensive.
For real.
And red honey.
You know, those 55-gallon buckets of goo I'm sure aren't cheap.
Well, hold on. Let's go to geek-io.net/Amazon and see how much a 55-gallon dub of lube is.
I don't think it was lube. That was way too thick and sticky. Oh, golly. That's on the internet forever.
I have that now. I'm going to clip that out. Thank you.
Pretty sure that was just like honey and red food coloring. Wow, two titles from one.
Yep. Welcome to my world. Now you know what it feels like to say something stupid, not thinking about it. It's like, crap.
Oh, yeah. So they had to remain ignorant to protect Russia from knowing that S.H.I.E.L.D. still exists, because that would be Cold War bad.
It would be. Unquote. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. is straight up a terrorist organization right now. So,
so you know,
I mean,
that made
like,
sense.
Winter Soldier was just last week, so like...
it's been longer than that, right?
I don't know.
I don't know what the timeline is anymore.
I think it was about at least 6 months ago from the current timeline. Probably closer to a year. I'm gonna say that the movies come out in pretty much like, you know, Avengers 2 happens 2 years after Avengers 1 happens, because that's when it came out.
That's fair.
I mean, that seems to be that's lazy man's continuity, and I'm okay with that, to be honest. Especially with real actors that age in real time, you kind of have to have that. So.
Oh yeah. We don't have to worry about aging, because we've got, you know, Michael Douglas Ant-Man technology.
Yeah. Freaking those CGs, man. Jeez.
Dim CGs, though.
You're right.
Let's just talk about the feels. I think
God. All right, yeah. Let's.
The feels.
The feels.
The one good part of this episode. Even though, yes, Daryl, you're absolutely right. That doesn't make sense. That they couldn't talk to them, but they could all send them shots and then nod at them and... And Mac can weep openly.
Weep openly, man. Mac. Oh, my God.
That was what killed
me,
man. It was Mac.
Mac just crushes soul, man.
Mac, it's okay, man.
Rachel actually watched these episodes with me, and
I saw the very tail end, and I was like, oh, shit, last week.
Okay. Yeah, Rachel watched the very end of it with her mom and then watched the entire episode this time. But Rachel only watches S.H.I.E.L.D. sporadically with me. So, like, I have to explain why Mac is, like, waiting behind and weeping openly. Because I'm like, he's the one who brought Hunter into this whole thing. Like, he's the one, you know, who spearheaded he's the one who spearheaded getting Bobby out of Hydra. Like, he's attached to those two on a level that, like, oh god, it seemed like this episode seemed kind of like a Chuck episode, like one of the bad Chuck episodes.
How so?
Disjointed, not making sense.
Yeah,
spy action, and then a sappy spy thing at the end. Like, this entire thing just felt like one of the like later, like one of the writer strike era Chuck episodes.
I just kept hearing the Lost music in my head during that whole scene. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's fair. You and your Lost references that are completely lost on me.
It's okay. Life and Death, that's the name of that song.
Oh, okay. I'll believe you.
I forgot that Michael Giannacino. He's an amazing, amazing
You're a Giannacino.
Hey, he did the music for Inside Out and Up, too, so shut your face. And pretty much all of the Pixar movies, because
yeah,
he's awesome!
He's Pixar's John Williams, basically.
Pretty much. Pixar's John Williams. I like it. But if they did drink all of those shots, man, they're going to be really, really drunk.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's like, I love how they only had them pound back one. Like, it's like, all right, we have five more here. What the hell are we going to do with these?
Just pound them, man. We don't got work tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You literally don't have anything better to do tomorrow. So just get shit-faced. Just go for it.
Go hit on that CIA agent following you around.
Yeah, so Marvel's Most Wanted, which is obviously going to be a thing. I'm going to guess it's going to be more along the lines of, and Daryl kind of, I kind of like what Daryl's going with it. I think it's going to be kind of like, in the comic book universe, there's a team called the Thunderbolts. The Thunderbolts are basically bad guys turning good or trying to do good. So I would like to see, you know, I don't think Daryl's completely wrong with a title like Marvel's Most Wanted. It kind of gives a credence to, hey, we can have a redemption for villains kind of thing. We can have Dale Cooper show up and swallowing guy from his Great Lakes Avengers team.
I think I didn't die.
I don't think he died.
I don't think he died. I don't think Nails Lady died either.
Yeah, we can have those two come back. Maybe have what's his name come back? Lash? I don't know though. Again, his powers are kind of expensive, so
Deathlock.
Man. Bring Deathlock. Yeah, put Deathlock up in this. Seriously. Yeah. Just
Deathlock and Absorbing Man makes sense.
Yeah, I mean it would make
And you can even just like have maybe like a rotating door of people coming
in. Yeah, I mean it would kind of make sense. Like exactly.
I'm okay with that.
Have them working under Talbot. Like have that happen. But, you know, obviously they're also the Secret Avengers where you can't actually have them be known or else, you know, obviously, hey, yeah, these two just kind of tried to kill like a bunch of people or actually flat out killed a bunch of people in Russia.
Yeah, it's an accident. We're just, you know, picking mushrooms.
So, I mean, the title leads to something that could be played with, but I don't know how far they're going to play into that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Exactly.
I'm ready for it.
I think it's... Hey,
guess what, everyone? I bet we're going to talk about it on this show when it comes out.
Yes, exactly. Regardless of how bad it might be, because, I mean, we still hang on to some bad episodes, some bad shows.
Wait, before you do that, the post, or whatever, cold close, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
With Malik's daughter. Is she anyone significant? Should I know who she is?
Rachel and I said the same thing. Like,
am I
supposed to
kind
know
of
her?
Like, presented her like you're supposed to be like, oh, but
Daryl, that's your homework because you're usually good, especially at lady people, figuring out where they're from. Tell me where Malik's lady people daughter is from, and if she's supposed to be important because yeah.
Okay, carry on.
All right, so speaking of shows that are barely hanging on because they're not that great, here's Gotham.
Gotham, episode whatever. Three random words in a title. Enigma probably doesn't go full Riddler this week as he stages a museum robbery to play with Harvey Gordon. Meanwhile, Jim looks like he's being an excellent moral compass for the future Batman this week because he killed Gallivan, apparently, and it's biting him in the ass. Something tells me the most interesting parts are Pee-wee Spleen's return to the role of Penguin's dad, and young Batman travelling a few miles from home to learn the skills he'll need when he tries to learn the skills he needs to be Batman. Still a better Batman story than Batman vs. Superman.
Ha!
There it is.
Yes! Two of them in one episode. Two of them.
And yes, Daryl, he did go full Riddler. This
Absolutely. Full.
Absolutely full Riddler.
Green wearing, green spray paint, full-blown Riddler. And
Riddler plaid.
That was really the only part of this episode that I liked.
There were some moments that
I liked.
Moments.
I'll give you moments.
The Riddler storyline was Great. I had a lot of fun with that.
8.8 for this freaking episode, by the way. That is far too high.
No, it's like a 7.5.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I'd be willing to maybe give it an 8. Maybe. But, yeah, 8.8.8 is the same score as freaking Agents of Feels and higher than Better Call Saul. So, no, IMDb, you be smoking to crack.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And by the way, that's one of the reasons why, and if anybody who's relatively new to this, why I started looking at these, not because they actually mean anything, but it's fun to just see how far people are insane on IMDb. So
Riddler.
Riddler. Riddler. Woo, Riddler.
And he frames Jim Gordon quite well.
Yeah.
Nice plan there. What do you call a place where crows drink? A crowbar.
Crowbar.
It's like, oh, I know that was a bad one. I just kind of made it up on the spot. He knows.
Yeah, he just definitely the best part of that this entire episode. I didn't mind Pee-wee Penguin.
Yeah, he was fine. He was super creepy, but I guess he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really hate new Penguin, though. Like, I'm with Riddler. Your new you is kind of freaking me out. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a fan.
I did watch the, you know, coming next week on Gotham. It looks like old Penguin will be coming back within.
Because Gotham can't hold anything off, has to pay everything off immediately. No. Got Crazy Barbara back, too.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Crazy Barbara's back.
Woo! And she's full blown, like, just a look in her eyes, man. Full blown nuts.
Just some kind of magic thing, because as soon as Gordon's in jail,
yeah.
I'm awake now. Wait,
get Doctor Strange. I'm like, ooh, Barbara and Doctor Strange together.
That should be interesting.
Make Barbara good. Like, not good guy, but like, make Barbara interesting. Seriously, please. Because if we're gonna bring her back once. In, we have to make her interesting.
You've done it once.
Yeah.
You made her interesting once, and then she wasn't interesting again. And you know, you can do this, Gotham.
Yeah, she's
stay
a good
on target.
Actress.
Stay on target.
Yeah, right. Because this episode just kind of this episode was not full blown anti what I liked about last episode, because it still had its shticky moments. It still had its fun Gotham moments. Riddler. Riddler is so great.
Yes, and of course, Ivy is growing
magic
mushrooms for the drug dealers. Of course she is.
Because
that makes nothing but sense.
Yeah, right. Like that. I mean, who else would be?
I know. Brilliant. Thank you, Gotham. This is the stuff that we like.
Right.
Random weird stuff like that.
Yeah, it's some kid growing magic mushrooms for every single crime lord in Gotham. Yeah, why the hell not? One kid doing all of it.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Bruce still actually impressing still in this. Like,
Yeah. He was good.
Still not bad.
In the face.
Laughing maniacally as old dude's punching the crap out of him. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Bruce taking Mr. Muffin's, Mr. Cupcake's, line of thought.
Yeah.
Bring back Mr. Cupcake.
I'm going to wear him down. This episode was severely lacking in Mr. Cupcake.
Yes.
I just want to put that out there, Gotham.
Yeah.
I need more Mr. Cupcake.
I want a Captain Cupcake spinoff.
Captain Cupcake. I don't think that'll happen. But I'd be happy just to have him back. And I went out on the internet and looked around. We're not the only ones who think Mr. Cupcake is awesome. So get on it, Gotham. Bring it back.
Yeah, right. Well, then again, look what happened to the last person that the internet thought was awesome. He wound up dead. Poor Jerome.
What a waste.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then Bruce, you know, has his moment. And then he starts giving his big speech. Like, yeah, go on, Bruce. And then Cat immediately, like, cuts him down.
Yeah, right.
Hey, come on, Cat. Let him have his moment. Jeez.
Yeah, but I'm still okay with Cat. Just be like, all right, Bruce, shut up. No.
Shut up. Yeah, well, you could have died, so stop being an idiot. Something will break you. You're not invincible,
yeah,
dude.
Not, everyone can break, Bruce. I'm like, ooh.
Oh, snap.
I do like how they're lending credence to that whole relationship, because in the comic books, it's never really played out too well, and certainly not in the movies. Like, in the movies, just like, oh, Batman has a raging bat boner for Selina, and that's it. Like, but at least with seeing Batboy and Kitten Lady, you at least can see why they have such a romantic tie as adults.
Yeah. But how do they not know who each other is? I mean, really?
Yeah, really? Well, yeah. I think in the Gotham universe, they obviously know who each other are now.
They better.
Yeah.
Or I've got problems with you, Gotham. Tar and Feathering the Penguin was a nice,
that was
cute
fun
thing.
That was good Gotham work.
No, we're not going to kill him. He's harmless now. We still should be punished. Tar and Feather.
They did have a cupcake in this episode, though.
Oh, that's right. He brought
a bunch of cupcake. Ceremonial cupcakes for everyone. Now, cupcake? Like now that it's been in two episodes in a row, I want the rest of the season to have a cupcake reference, like the rest of the season.
Keep an eye out. Might be there.
I'm going to be on cupcake watching Gotham.
cupcake ribbons.
I have to do something to make this show really interesting for me. And if I have to stay looking for cupcakes, I'll do it, damn it.
But yeah, Riddler stuff, few moments, Ivy growing mushrooms.
Gordon finally getting reparations for being the worst cop in history.
Yes, Gordon finally is paying for being just awful.
Though
I kind of feel bad for him at the end.
Though, okay, they're still supposed to be homicide detectives, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're supposed to send homicide detectives to some place that nobody was actually killed.
Well, they addressed that.
Yeah, you know? But no, that's not how police work.
I agree, but they did address it. They're like, why are we going to this? Like, well, it's a bomb threat. That's your department.
Is there not bomb people in GCPD? they sent intern and homicide detectives to go for all bomb cases, apparently.
Sure, why not? And the ME is there too.
Yeah, because why the hell not? There's literally nothing else to do in GCPD except for this one thing. Every single police personnel is in on this case. Every single one of them. Like, if there's a bank robbery anywhere else in the city, doesn't matter. They're all in that one case. No wonder Gotham City needed Batman, because the police are so inept that there has to be somebody there.
And the only cop they have is terrible. One's really great at one-liners, but I'm still not sure he's a great cop. He's a little crooked, but he at least cares.
Yeah. Still am a great partner, Jim. Aww.
Harvey. We need more of you.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that they're basically writing off Leslie.
Maybe.
I doubt she'll be back, at least until maybe the season finale.
Yeah.
Because again, somehow we have to get Gordon going from ex-con to commissioner now. Which that gap of how he becomes commissioner is getting wider and wider.
Wait, what?
Like, you now have a record. Like, even if it's expunged, who would elect you to be commissioner?
Well,
oh, that's right. In Gotham,
I confirmed that there was Galavan in the tube, so he's probably going to come back, which means he can't have murdered someone who's alive, so he'll probably get off for that. And then, you know, they'll eventually figure out that he didn't kill the cop, and he'll get off for that. So then it'll be expunged, right?
Totally. Right? Ooh, sure. Gotham magic!
Yay, magic. Ho, ho, it's magic.
God, if you didn't have, five, six episodes left in your freaking season, Gotham, I'd say we're done with you, but we might as well pay it out until the end.
Nah, I'll write it out. I enjoyed it enough to not quit on you, Gotham.
If you could
just give me the promise of more Mr. Cupcake, I'd definitely stick around.
quit killing off your best people, because you made Balloon Man go away. Mr. Cupcake was a one-time person. Jerome is dead, maybe, hopefully. I still think that he's not, but obviously, we can resurrect people now. Jared, we can resurrect people now!
Yeah, I know.
Jerome's coming back!
Maybe. He's already on another show, though, so I don't know.
Shh!
That dude's,
quit
that dude's
ruining me trying to make Gotham better than it actually is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's coming back.
Yay!
Totes. Him and Lori Petty are going to team up.
Yeah!
She's going to be proto-Harley Quinn. And
the
proto-proto-Harley
Quinn, because we already have another proto-Harley Quinn.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Barbara. It's kind of...
Damn it, Barbara. All right. So, bye for the week, Gotham. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Moving on to a better show.
In Better Call Saul, episode 6, and no, I'm not going to try and pronounce it, we spend a little more time with Mike's story, which continues to diverge from Jimmy's in some pretty major thematic ways. And it's threatening to harm an otherwise perfect show. And no, TJ, I'm not about to go hard on this consistently amazing show, but the contrasting levels of threat and consequence between the two plots can sometimes make the Saul storyline seem a little trivial, especially when you compare his European cupholder woes to the guns, violence, and death threats on children that Mike has to deal with this week.
That is entirely the point. The entire point is to have better basically have Jimmy have first world problems and Mike to have actual real consequential issues.
Because holy crap.
We got the twins! And we got the twins back!
The cousins show up on the rooftop. I was like, oh,
it is never good for them to show up. And then they like do the finger point at his granddaughter. Like, I'm like, oh no, Gilligan, no.
Oh no.
That is the entire. I think that was the entire point. Was, and even later, Saul, like, he's not really a villain. He's just dirty. Like, yeah.
He was the comic relief in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. So I mean, and Mike actually got his hands dirty and did work, and you know, did actual things with consequences. Saul, not so much, and is now working at a freaking Auntie Anne's in Nebraska or something.
No, not Nebraska.
It's Omaha, isn't it?
Omaha? No. Oh, it's Cinnabon. Sorry.
Yeah, Cinnabon.
I mean,
and
like
Omaha.
Future Saul. I thought you meant current Jimmy.
No, Saul.
Davison, Maine is somewhere close-ish. Phoenix, I think.
No, that's in.
What? No, you went silent again. Nope, you came back. Nope, and you went away.
Why? Stop it. Davison, Maine is in Santa Fe.
Santa Fe. That's
and MMR is in Albuquerque. So, I mean, it's a lot of desert between the two places.
So we want to talk about Mike or Jimmy first?
Let's do Jimmy's first, because that's a lot less to go through and swallow.
The cold open was fun.
Yeah.
Mostly just because we got Mrs. Fang or Fong or whatever her name is. Fayon.
Oh, Mrs. Nguyen? Yeah.
Nguyen, thank you. Gosh, I'm terrible. I'm the worst.
Racist.
What are you doing here? Like, I'm paid up. Because, like, my first thing was like, he still has a key? What?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm just getting comfortable. It's like, oh, you don't like your job? Boo-hoo. We have to work too. No one give us a free car.
Let's work for a living.
It's like, yes, you're so awesome.
Yay!
Jimmy, you really shouldn't sing, man. Don't sing.
Yeah, dude, that was bad. And then, yeah, ruining the European cup holder, because I had to explain to Rachel what the cup holder was all about and the symbolism involved. And yes. Basically now
it's
at this
symbolic.
Point... It's a fully symbolic that he'll do anything, including break the rules, like as shown by destroying a cup holder in a leased vehicle to get what he wants, which was to put the cup into the cup holder.
Because that's his favorite cup, because Kim gave him that cup.
It's precious coffee cup.
And then... it was just they kept calling back to that cup holder over and over again.
Yeah, right?
And then he finally just destroyed it.
Yes.
Classic Gilligan.
Yep. Kim got her job back and possibly going on to a different job, which is a way to write her out of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, she would be Jimmy's rival. And Kim being above the books would not allow herself to have that level of conflict of interest.
Yeah, but you see her kind of falter in this episode. Like, she goes back.
Yeah,
and she calls him back into the, you know, con game.
But she didn't cash the check.
She didn't cash the check, no. But she's playing with fire.
Yeah.
She's seeing the appeal of Jimmy's ways.
Good old slipping Jimmy.
Good old slipping Jimmy.
But yeah, other than that, like, Jimmy's story kind of went absolutely nowhere.
Well, he was hardly in this episode. No. Like, he was at the beginning and the end, and then it was Kim and Mike alternating in the middle, which is fine.
Yeah.
I actually have no problem with that.
No. And as much as I love Bob Odenkirk, it's like, it's... by the way, we got the teaser for the next episode. We're going full solid next episode.
Yeah, you saw it too. Okay.
Yes,
good.
I did. Yes, I did.
I squeezed like a high school girl. And he like walks in with the salmon-colored polyester suit.
Yep. I'm watching it. I'm like, oh my god, we're getting Saul next episode. Rachel's like, who's Saul? Oh, damn it.
He is Saul. The titular character.
Yes. Just like, she's like, who's Saul? I'm like, oh man, I'm so happy. And like, it just that, by the way, that explains pretty much my entire idea of being a geek. Yes, this is an awesome thing is happening. What world is this? Oh, crap.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
So yeah, Mike.
Yeah, so we had, I'm sure you noticed, we had two long shots.
Yes.
Long takes in this
the single
episode.
Shot, yeah.
They were both awkward, like capturing awkward moments. One
as Gilligan
is
wont to
Kim,
do.
Yeah, one was Kim and Howard walking from like her office to the meeting room, and him with just like the look of just, I hate you on his face, and her trying
Muppet.
To talk to him.
Here's a Muppet!
Yeah, and him, her like trying to talk to him and nothing from him. But then the second they get to the door, you know.
Smile!
Bing! Smiles and everything, and it goes.
How's the
like,
grandkid?
Oh.
I freaking hate you so much, Howard.
And then the second long shot we got is Mike.
Mike defending his house awkwardly,
coming from his car, picking up the things. Like, okay, there's people in here. It's quiet and easy.
Yeah,
and it's a whole different kind of tension.
Oh man, yeah, you could cut that tension with a freaking butter knife, man. It just
because like you said, it's Kim's tension is, you know, first world problems. Still tension, but,
yeah,
you know. And then Mike, you know, we got two armed men in his house.
Yeah, right. They'll beat the ever-living snot out of him, man. Woo,
yeah,
go, Mike, you're
beat
badass.
The crap out of those guys. We're just trying to scare you. We're just supposed to scare you. Try harder next time.
Though yes, it actually Mike. Succeeded because, well, when he was cleaning off the blood off of his gun. By the way, I love the look on his face like, oh, man, my gun got bloody.
Oh, I got blood on my gun.
Than shaking because either adrenaline actually being scared or maybe you're going to play Parkinson's card?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a prequel, and they didn't have any of that in you know, Breaking Bad, so I don't see them playing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope not.
I think that was just because...
Adrenaline.
I'll save it for my big spiel at the end. Like, I have a big spiel about this episode.
Yay, spiels.
A good one.
Good.
A good one. A good one. But he was saved by Billy Mays. So.
Yeah, oh man, that made me
that
feel
was a nice,
that was
a nice callback
too,
to the
man.
Early 2000s.
Like, oh yeah, this does take place in 2002. Oh god, Billy Mays was still alive. Oh.
With a quick chop.
Yep, right through the heart, man. Just right in there.
Billy Mays.
Slap chop, man. Oh god, man. I loved the scene between Mike and Hector.
Oh, that was fantastic.
What'd I tell you? Giant balls.
What did I tell you? Giant balls. Which is another potential nickname for you.
Yeah, so that was, I'm like, oh, man. And that's another one just like oozing tension, man. Just like, obviously, you know the background, but... Somehow Hector has to get into the chair. It played such a pivotal role in Breaking Bad.
We know how he got in the chair.
Did we?
Yeah. Gus put him in the chair.
Oh, right.
He somehow survived the poisoning that none of the rest of the family did.
That's right. I forgot that he was involved in the poisoning incident. But yeah, I love, and also Nacho at the end, just kind of proving that I would want Mike and Nacho buddy cop show.
Yes. Oh my god, it was so great.
We'd watch the hell out of that. Mike just proving that he is the most honorable man in this entire universe.
Yep.
Gave you $25,000. Why am I getting this? Because I failed.
Because you made a deal, and I didn't keep up my end of the bargain. So
Wow.
There you go.
All right, Mike.
Which brings me to my spiel.
All right, give us the spiel.
My gosh, nonverbal stuff in this episode.
Oh my
Holy
God,
crap.
Yes.
There was so little talking and so much happening.
You're
like
right?
The awkward walk with Kim and him and their faces and Kim listening to what's his name, like give him the story and the spiel and oh, I want to hire you and like her reactions on her face.
Yeah, man.
Winning it and killing it. Just the way people walk, the fake smiling. The way they're listening, when he's cleaning the gun, but he shakes. No words, no words. And then the twins are just up on the roof. No words, just signals. Boom. And it's just, oh, they just killed it in this episode with just clear intention. And then, yeah, and then at the end when he gives him the money, just the look of just the utmost respect.
Yeah, man.
That Nacho has for Mike. Like, this dude is on your side now. Like, he believes in you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You are his dude. Like, you have an ally in this fight. Because Nacho, like, that, just the acting in this, without saying any words, was just exquisite.
Oh, most definitely.
And there's my minor rant.
No, it's a good rant. Any other notes before?
Oh, sorry. I
no,
missed one of my nonverbal things. The intern. When like Saul and his babysitter lady are like going over the thing.
Aaron,
Omar, huh? I think his name's Omar.
Yeah, Omar is the guy, and Aaron is the babysitter.
Oh yeah, yeah. Aaron's the babysitter. Sorry, E R I N, not A A R O N. And like just him like reacting to the tension in the room between Saul and Aaron.
Yeah, right.
He's like, here it is.
All right, after seeing that episode, after seeing that, by the way, I officially redact my statement of those two sleeping together. Officially redacted.
I never thought that ever. So, yes.
You guys were right.
Even that guy got in on the nonverbal stuff.
Yep.
Because you can kind of tell him, like, he thinks Saul is, I mean, Jimmy is awesome.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah. He is all over Jimmy. Like, he's definitely up on Jimmy's scrotal region.
Ew. Hope he washes. So watching him fidget as Aaron just kind of like, you know,
yeah,
the flame.
7. Alright, anything else?
I think that's all.
Alright, so we're actually going to go ahead and cut off here because neither Jazz nor I have anything in here for our for the challenge shows. And
sorry,
also,
I was sick.
We went a little long on talking anyway. I didn't have a lot of time.
A little late too, so.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have a lot of time to watch much. Though next week I'm going to go full on Supergirl Flash crossover next week. So that is going to be my entire thing next week is the Supergirl Flash crossover. And just a fair warning, everybody has a week to watch it. It is going to be full blown spoilers, including and up to and most likely including what is going on in the Flash currently. So if you are not caught up on both of those, or you don't care, you already have your first warning that next week in the challenge shows, Supergirl and Flash crossover, world's finest. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, and I may have a Bob's Burgers episode that you might actually like.
Oh?
I watched this past week with Katie. It's a fourth season episode entitled Equestronauts.
Equestronauts.
About the Equestronauts, who are a My Little Pony ripoff. And they go to a brony convention. I mean, an Equesticles convention.
All right. That one I'll watch. If you give me the episode number, I'll watch that one.
It's pretty amazing.
That I'll put that as my challenge show for the following week.
Yeah. Whenever you get to Black Mirror and Man in the Castle,
freaking Black Mirror.
Throw that in the pile.
Yeah, I'm actually going back and rewatching a bunch of anime that I watched already. What I'm in the mood for, dude. Man in the High Castle.
I can't say anything because, man, I haven't watched Flash or Arrow in like 2 weeks.
Man in the High Castle is just such a heady, like.
Yeah, I know. It's not one that you can really binge.
No, it's not. And that's the issue that I have. Like, I have to actually take time to consider when I can put the mental facilities together to watch Man in the High Castle. Not that it's bad. But also, it's kind of this will be here forever. Because I'm never going to let my Amazon Prime's lapse, because that thing saves my life. it's going to be there forever. It's just kind of I'll get to it. It might end up happening to be after when we're on season break and trying to do it then this summer.
Indeed.
Before season two appears. All right, folks, on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. You can reach us via email, geekioshow@gmail.com. Twitter and Facebook are both /geekioshow. You can give us a call on our geek hotline is 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK, our website, which has every bit of shows that you could possibly ever want, minus the few that just sounded like absolute crap, because even I have standards, is geek-io.net/spoilershow. Of course, support us over our dear friends at patreon.com/geekio or geek-io.net/Amazon.
Amazon. Show titles we've got. When He Was an Angel, Don't Ask. You're Back from the Dead, But Now You're Purple. Foggy Has the Hots for Daredevil. Rude Top Gun reference. Agent of Feels. Way Too Thick and Sticky. I Don't Think That's Lube. Pixar's John Williams. Bull Riddler, Captain Cupcake, Raging Bad Boner, and Saved by Billy Mays.
Clipping all You're of welcome. Those out. Thursday there will be many jazz isms. Yes, that's definitely the title, by the way. Way Too Thick and Sticky is definitely the title. All right, folks. On that note, we will see you next week right here on Tuesday night. Now that I figured everything out, hopefully we won't have any more issues. So on that note, folks, we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a podcast of the Geek IO Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.